You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, Upon Further Review, bye week edition. So it's the bye. We're getting out of here for a couple days, stretching the legs, spending some time outdoors, more on that later. But we're not taking any time off from the pod. Impossible. Can't do it. Won't do it. But we're doing something a little different this week. No player guest. Obviously, the guys are out of here, enjoying their vacation time, doing their thing. Great for them. So what we're doing, we're roundtable. We're just going to sit four dudes in a podcast studio and break it down. So Eddie Pascal, per usual, here. Producer Trav, also here, per usual. Our senior esports correspondent, Kyle Martin Media, a man who also wears a million other hats, but you know him best as our senior esports correspondent. He's here.
Hello.
Hello, Kyle. And then our old friend, our social guru, our social czar, Matthew G. Walks, is also in the house. This is what we're going to do. We're going to keep it fun. We're going to keep it light. We're going to talk Raiders football for a little bit, and then we're going to get out of here. And we're going to come back next week focused, locked in, and ready to dominate digital content in all ways, shapes, and forms. So, we start. I don't want to say, obviously, we're sitting at 1-5, and this is a good kind of time for us to kind of look back on what's transpired the past 6 weeks. And it's been a mixed bag, I think, to say the least. There's been some good, some not so good, but there's been a lot of learning, a lot of in-between, a lot of things that have surprised me, I know have surprised the guys here when we talk in the studio. So, Kyle, I'm going to ask you, I don't want to use the term MVP for a couple reasons, but who has been a guy or guys that when you take stock of what we've seen these past first six weeks, I should say, that you've been like, yeah, I'm feeling that.
Well, I think my guy is going to be someone that we all possibly say is their guy. I'm going to go with Jalen Richard. He's been consistent. He's been our second lead. Like, he has our second most receptions,
sure,
second to Jared Cook, who's also been a baller. But Jalen Richard, as John Gruden has said week in and week out, is that the reason why Doug Martin's probably not seeing as much playing time is because Jalen Richard is a good running back. I mean, he does it all. He's versatile. He's all, you know, we talk about a safety net or targets for guys who can get people out of situations. And Jalen Richard has sort of come that guy for Derek also, not just Jared Cook. You know, he's always in the flats. He's always able to make plays with his legs, make people miss. He's electric. He's explosive. And I think he's one of our undervalued and underappreciated weapons on the offensive side of the ball.
Doesn't it always seem that Jalen is always good for a first down conversion that you would not see coming until he gets there? Like, he gets hit like 7 yards behind the sticks and somehow spins or works his way past the marker?
Absolutely, dude. And honestly, I think the first play of his career has defined everything he's ever done. That play he had in New Orleans week one 2 years ago where he just burst through the hole, shook off some defenders, and went 70 yards to the house. You don't think he can do it, but then he goes and does it, and you're like, oh my gosh, wow. I mean, anything's really possible with Jalen, right?
I mean, we talk about guys. I mean, we joke a lot. And obviously we say it in a serious manner too about guys playing with courage, right? And when I've looked at the 53 the first 6 weeks, I mean, you look at Jalen, when we were in LA a couple weeks ago and that game was over, there was, I mean, at that point you're playing for the scoreboard, right? But Jalen was out there busting his behind. He was going 110%, balls to the walls each rep. He had a couple passes in the last couple minutes where he's making guys miss, he's staying aggressive. And you're like, this is the kind of guy you want. This is the kind of guy you want out there. Obviously, you wish the score was different, but he's busting his butt. He's playing with energy. He's playing with passion. Like, he's playing with courage. Like, we joke about it, but this is the epitome of what we want to see, right? And so Jalen's a great choice.
He's still so young, too.
He is.
I mean, he just turned 25 the other day. Like, he's still got a lot of really good years left in him.
A credit to him, too, that the man was undrafted. He gets a tryout with us. He makes it through camp. He makes the roster. He has a great first season. He doubles up on it last year. And then here he is year three. And he's arguably behind Marshawn, who's our power back, Jalen's pretty much our guy aside from the Beast.
Yeah, you know? I think it's fair to say he's our de facto number two. I think at this point through 6 weeks and seeing the run that he's gotten or the run that Doug Martin hasn't gotten because of Jalen and the Beast, I think it's fair to say he's our de facto number two. And you bring up a great point that this was a guy. How quickly we forget, was a tryout guy. Not only did he not go, he didn't go drafted. He was undrafted. He had one tryout, and it was with us. One tryout. So I mean, you gotta love those kinds of guys, right? I mean, that's kind of, for what we do and for the stories and that kind of stuff, like, it doesn't get much better than a dude from small town Louisiana, you know, coming up, pulling himself up by his bootstrings, making the best of a tryout, and now he's arguably one of our most dynamic pieces on offense.
And obviously, with the way some of these game scripts have gone, I mean, we've gotten down big and we've gotten down early, and we've had to resort to passing, and him being the default passing back, that third down back, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm sure he's seen the field more than Marshawn some games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'd have to go back and double check the snap counts and everything, but I want to give credit to Reggie McKenzie on this one too, because not that I want to make predictions or anything along that nature, but I think Jalen's arguably his best hidden gem find that he's found.
Yeah, in terms of late round undrafted guy, for sure.
I don't know who else you could compare to Jalen. Yeah, Seth, for sure.
I mean, Seth's
Nick Morrow.
Morrow's a good one too. I mean, look, there's been a handful, but I think that you're right, Kyle, where that list does start with Jalen. I mean, he's been as advertised, if not better, in 2018. And, you know, obviously we don't want to look too far down the line, because obviously Coach Gruden is going to talk about this when we get back. But if Marshawn, for whatever reason, isn't ready to go against the Colts, you're going to need more from Jalen.
With the groin strain.
Yeah,
correct,
with the groin. You're going to need more from Jalen. I mean, thankfully, you look at Jalen's stat, his stat line is kind of funny, where the rushing yards are not really there. I think he's got 32 rushing yards. I looked it up earlier. But like you said, Kyle, second in receptions on the team, doing so much other stuff, still doing work on special teams. But we've seen, granted it's a small sample size because he's only his third year in the league, but we've seen that Jalen has the ability to carry the rock and carry it more than two or three or four times a game. And if for whatever reason the beast is unable to go in 10 days' time, I mean, you're going to need a lot from number 30.
Absolutely. Trev?
But I think Jared Cook, I mean, obvious go-to guy.
Yeah. He's kind of been our third down, you know, when we're in third and seven and Derek needs eight. I feel like it's always Jared Cook. And we talked about it the other week, too. Like, I don't know if Cook has dropped a pass this year. It seems like if it's in the vicinity, he's coming down with it. But. Yeah.
He made some just incredible catches, especially along the sidelines these last couple weeks. And another guy like Jalen, who always lowers his shoulder and gets like the extra 2, 3, 4 yards that we always seem to need.
Just to add on to what you just said, I think that's been fun to see with Jalen. I don't know if you guys have paid attention to it, but this is the Marshawn effect for sure, is that now when you watch Jalen run or when he catches a pass, he's not doing as much dancing. Sure, he can make people miss, but he's lowering that head and that shoulder pad to get those extra hard-earned yards that I don't know if you would have seen him make 2 years ago. But now with the effect of Marshawn, he's trying to build on his game a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely seems like a more north and south kind of guy than he did a year ago. That's a great point. I hadn't really thought about that. I mean, even just in London the other day, where you look and he had that one where he got that pass where he kind of got dumped off to him, where he lowered his shoulder and they threw the flag on him. They picked it up, thankfully. But that's a great point of just, you know, yeah, he's looking for contact. And I mean, he's built, bro. I mean, he's like, what, 5'8", but
he's stacked.
He's stacked. So we'll see. Jalen has been outstanding. Jared's been good too. Defensively, let's give a little love to those guys. I mean, I think Mo Hurst has been probably the most consistent guy on that defense for 6 weeks. Right?
Definitely.
I mean,
draft steal. I mean, fifth round. Everyone thought that he could have been a first rounder if he didn't have his heart issue, which we're far removed from, and he's fine and everything's okay. But yeah, I think he's been the most consistent on the defensive front.
Walks.
Yeah, I mean, mine, especially with how things went in Seattle, might be a little bit controversial, but I would just like to give Gabe and Rodney up front a little love, because they have dealt with so much uncertainty and adversity, both at the tackle position on either side, playing with a lot of rookies and having John Feliciano come in and out and having KO go down for some time. And you really take for granted that they just clock in and clock out and do their jobs and do it so, so, so well in the very interior of that line. And obviously, Derek was sacked 6 times in Seattle. It's not what anybody wants to see. But Gabe and Rodney, what they've done to prevent that line from becoming as bad as it could be with so many transitional players and rookies, I think has been really incredible.
Absolutely. I mean, Kyle gives me a hard time for my love of the offensive line, but where does it all start, brother?
No hard times. It starts in the trenches. I believe you. I'm with you on that. But to Walks' point about Rodney, I think, Derek said a couple weeks ago, it's hard to grade a center because they're not the sexiest position on the field, you know? But he was bold enough to say that Rodney Hudson may be the best football player he's ever lined up with. And I don't know. I think that speaks volumes. It's Rodney Hudson is the most reliable player on that front, debatably. I mean, the man played with kidney stones last year. So
the man's a warrior.
You can't knock his toughness by any means, and he's a great communicator. He's always calling out blitz packages that are coming his way. So he's getting everyone on the same page. And, I mean, to Wax's point, he's dealt with a lot of transitions and different bodies next to him.
A lot of moving pieces.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to think about, just kind of jumping off what you were saying, about what our offensive line looked like Sunday night at Wembley compared to what we thought it was going to look like when we got to training camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think Donald Penn would be playing at right tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't expect us to draft a left tackle prior to the draft either, but I mean, here we are.
I mean, but if you think when we got to camp, our thought was it's going to be either Don or Colton on the left,
Breno,
Giacomini on the right, and then the three big dogs in the middle.
Right.
In the past 2 weeks, you haven't had KO. You got the rookie left tackle, and I know Colton had a rough go of it last week, but I mean, he's been pretty solid.
Justin Murray has played in there.
Justin Murray makes his essentially Raiders debut.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. And we talk about it all the time where how we've been spoiled the past couple years where you can write those five guys in from week one to week 16. Granted, there's been a little movement at right tackle, year in and year out. But from left to right, your guys from week one are still your guys week 17. And there's something that's, I think we've learned this year, is so valuable to having that cohesion. And like you said, those guys up front, the Gabes, the Rodneys, the KOs when he's going, they never get enough credit.
No.
They never, ever, ever do. And people make such a big deal of they make, so much money for being interior line. But look, I mean, those guys have shown, if nothing else, the past 2 weeks have shown us how important they are to making this offense go.
Absolutely. I think the one thing that we all found peace in prior to the season was that it looked like with the drafting of Brandon Parker and Colton Miller that the offensive line had depth, right? We had lots of pieces inside, outside, but all of these injuries have eliminated all of our depth, and we've had to resort to, picking up guys like Justin Murray who have filled in, and held their own in their time out there. But that's come to the reason why, the offensive line may not be producing at the level that we're accustomed to seeing in, last year and 2016.
And let's not forget, for as much for as many questions that were lobbed at Coach Gruden for taking two tackles in the draft, and especially for taking Colton in the first round, where would our offensive line be right now if Coach Gruden hadn't, and Reggie McKenzie hadn't taken those two tackles? There's been both Brandon Parker and Colton have gotten so much playing time that it's hard to imagine what that line would look like if they weren't available to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's depth is kind of the name of the game, especially on the offensive line, too, where it's just the nature of the beast where those guys get dinged up, right? I mean, they're going against a 300-pound man.
TJ Clemmings, another guy I forgot about, who's gotten some run on the line.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, the depth, if we didn't have those guys, I don't even really know what you would do at this juncture. I mean, especially with and Derek certainly had his ups and downs, and I'm sure we'll get into that in a little bit. But, I mean, you need to, at the end of the day, Derek's your franchise quarterback, right? You need to give him time to operate. You need to keep him upright. And so I can't imagine a world where he's under more duress than he is now being asked to run this offense. So, yeah, I mean, a great point that this depth has been it's hard to imagine a world where Colton and Brandon aren't getting the run they are right now.
And I mean, on Brandon and Colton, I know people are upset with, their performance on Sunday against the Seahawks. It wasn't their best by any means, but the silver lining is that I'm grateful that those two guys arguably are two anchors at the tackle position for years to come are getting reps. I'd rather see them in there taking some bumps and bruises, learning from their mistakes, rather than them from sitting on the bench and going, I'm just going to wait my turn. And you don't really know what they have, because the only way that they're going to get better is by going up against every swim move in the NFL across the board, and any pass rush or bull rush. Getting those extended reps is going to make them much better. And I know the offensive line hasn't been what we're accustomed to seeing, but there's a silver lining that the the young guys are getting reps and they're improving daily.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, no one's going to step on the field. Like, let's not forget, we were talking about it a little while ago, where 10 months ago, Colton was game planning for Wazoo. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's a big difference between game planning for that beast edge, you know, edge rusher from Oregon State compared to Von Miller.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, no one steps into the offensive line. No one steps into anywhere really in the NFL and is just that dude ready to rock. So, Kyle, you bring up the great point, the reps. Much needed. And look, these are going to be your guys. These are, if everything goes to plan, these are your bookends for the next, 10, 12 years? I mean, you got to get them some run. I know it's not going to be pretty. It certainly wasn't pretty on Sunday, but, you know, it's good to see them getting out there, flexing, getting into the mix of things and hopefully progressing. But it's a nice little segue into things that have perhaps not been kind of what we anticipated or expected going into 2018. And look, sitting at 1-5, there are obviously things that have not been what we've liked. And that's a reason that we're sitting 4 games under .500 heading to the bye. But there's still a long, long, long time to go. And I think the narrative that the sky is falling or that this team has, you know, thrown the towel in or whatever kind of, you know, sports cliche you want to use is a little bit tired and frankly, a little bit lazy at this point. Granted, it has not been perfect. It has not been perfect by a long shot, but there's still a lot to go. So in terms of things that need to get better when we get back from the bye, I think we all probably individually have some similar ones on our list, and I'm sure we have a lot of things that you probably see a little differently than I do and vice versa. So, Matty Dubs, when you look at this team right now, headed in, you know, obviously a couple days off, a little downtime, and then headed into that Colts game, what do we really need to see collectively picked up over these final 10?
Well, as you said, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that need to be improved. I think Coach Gruden would be the first person to say that.
I mean, he did say it. He said it yesterday.
He did. Yeah, that's right. I would say I would like to see more consistency out of the secondary, actually. I mean, I know we've talked about the pass rush. I know we've talked about the pass protection. Obviously, those things are extremely important, as we touched on in the trenches. But I would like to see the cornerback situation resolve itself in a way where the coaching staff sort of knows who their guys are. I know Gerrion Conley didn't get much run in England, and Worley, despite giving up some pretty big plays, I think he played very well. I think Coach Gruden said even yesterday that some of those plays, I mean, there's pretty indefensible in like the very definition of the term, and So he looks like he's there to stay. And then I would like to see, you know, some other action with Rashawn Melvin, and hopefully Nick Nelson can get some play at the slot with Leon.
Just going back to Worley for a quick sec, I don't want to interrupt you, but we were sitting at Wembley, and there were two of them that I remember clearly. The pass to Doug Baldwin, and there was one, I forget who Russell Wilson connected with, but when you look at the replay, I don't know what you want Daryl Worley to do.
I actually thought it was incomplete. Until I saw the replay, I thought that it...
I mean, there's...
Are you talking about his touchdown, the Russell Wilson's touchdown in the back of the end zone?
Well, there was that one. Yeah. I was thinking the one there down on the left sideline that Baldwin caught and fell out of bounds, mm-hmm. that Worley was right there on top of him.
That's just veteran-to-veteran connection.
I mean, there's a big difference between getting burned, you know, when you're looking at the wrong place and then, oh... You know, receiver X is 9 feet behind you. But, I mean, on those two big passes, because Worley did give up some big receptions. But realistically, like, I don't know what else you can ask him to do. Granted, I'm certainly not a football guy, a DB guy.
Yeah.
But, like, when I look at those, I'm sure when Trevor or Kyle looks at those, what more do you want? I mean, that's a great wide receiver making a great play on the football.
I'm really excited to see what the team has in Nick Nelson. Yeah. Obviously, he had a great year at Wisconsin, and I know the coaching staff obviously is very excited to see him. I know he's excited to get back out there and play. And coach said he could see him in the slot with Leon. And I think everyone is just the record is as such that everyone is just excited to see what we have in all these guys. Jason Kabinda, who just got called up, Nick Nelson, and see what they can contribute now and hopefully in the future.
Yeah,
I think that's a great point. Fun fact also, I just realized this the other day doing a little more research on Nick Nelson. Don't know if you guys knew this. Did you know prior to going to University of Wisconsin?
He went to Hawaii, right?
Yeah, University of Hawaii.
I did know that.
You know, slipped my mind.
That's why you're the senior draft expert. That's you know these things.
You know these tidbits.
I'd also like to go on the record saying that the next pod I'd like to be referred to as the draft insider correspondent.
Okay.
To Wachs's point, though, about Nick Nelson and the future pieces and young guys stepping up like Jason Kabinda, who we're probably going to see more of going forward, I think it's definitely a good thing to, you know, see, like Colton Miller and Brandon Parker and Nick Nelson and Gerrion Conley. We want to see more of all these young guys. But I also understand from the perspective of that it's hard to be patient, right? It's hard to be patient when there is so much hype, and understandably so, and Raider Nation wants to win now. I get that. I get it, but Rome wasn't built in a day, guys.
We're not here to pretend that this isn't what it is, right? 1-5. I think if you had pulled the four of us 6 weeks ago and asked what our record would be, I don't know if there's any of the four of us that would have had anything even close to 1-5. But you know, it is what it is. It is what this team earned, and you know, I completely understand, Kyle, because you see it, Walk sees it a lot, and you know, we see it too with just the negativity of the nation, the desire of the nation for them to want things to be fixed overnight.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, I get it. Look, I totally get it. I 100% get it. I think that going into any season, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, but especially in the NFL, I don't think anyone goes into the season being like, I think it'll be okay. No, no one wants that. You want to win championships. You want to win rings. You want the greatness. You want to be great. I get it. But, you know, we still got a ways to go. I get it. I understand the frustration. I totally do. I mean, if I responded to every negative tweet, everyone who jams me up, I'd be a busy man. I'd be a sad man.
You wouldn't get anywhere.
I wouldn't get anywhere.
I think, and there is obviously a distinction between the keyboard warriors who just always have something bad to say.
And I'll say this too, real quick. It's real easy. It is really, really easy to cast stones and to have all the, you know, the snarky comments and the this and the that and, oh, whatever, when you don't have to look a man in the eye. You know what I mean?
You sit up on your mountaintop, on your pedestal, and you look down at everyone. You think you're so high and mighty. Come on.
I think here's what I would say. I would say that we, especially operating the at Raiders handle, I see your tweets. I understand why you feel the way that you do. And if there's any message I would have, it's that we feel the same way and that it's okay to hurt, to be upset and
love
to be angry.
Love hurts, a wise man said.
Because the reason that it hurts so much is because you care so much. And if you didn't care so much, then we couldn't do what we do. So I, as backward as it sounds, I'm grateful that you guys care so much to be so negative, because it means you're passionate, and I would take anger over indifference every single day.
I never got the full story on this. Is it true that someone requested a photo with you overseas?
Yes, I would like to make sure the story is on the record. We were sitting in the press box in Wembley, which is very unique. It's very open air, and it's very close to other fans in the stands. So when fans who are in the lower bowl are going to their seats, they can pass by the press box and see other members of the media. And a man, and I presume his girlfriend or his wife, saw Eddie working in the press box. They flagged Eddie down, and there was some brief confusion because a lot of it was being communicated through signs and through yelling, but it was eventually conveyed that the man wanted Eddie to come take a photo with his girlfriend, and I thought that was very nice. And as I would just like to remind everyone in Raider Nation, Eddie is the face and the voice of Raiders.com, and as such, it's nice to see him get his due on a global stage. When we were in Mexico, some fans who didn't even speak English approached Eddie and just wanted some time. He's a man of the people.
He is.
I do like to pride myself, and I think this is a... This example is not an accurate representation of what things are like when we go on the road. This is an outlier of occurrence. But, nah, man, I get fired up when people want to – I mean, I'd prefer if they just wanted to talk and say they listen to the podcast and all of our actual work. But
well, you got that too, though, at the hotel. Oh, God. That's another story.
Yeah. Eddie's low-key famous, you guys.
Yeah, dude, he's starting to blow up. He's on the rise, man.
Now is the time to invest in Eddie stock because it is about to explode.
So, speaking of the pod, in all seriousness, though, big shout-out to our guy Oliver O'Raw, who Travis and I were fortunate enough to meet outside of the hotel in Wembley, who said that he listens, and I appreciate that, brother. He tweeted at me. I tweeted him back. So we made an international friend in England. Yeah. So that was kind of cool.
You know what? I'd also just like to thank the nation for the time they wished me
good
health
through
the Twitter sticks. Yes. You know, we discussed how I had fallen ill, but they were quick to bring me to my feet and make me feel good about overcoming such obstacles.
Well, and also, you know I alluded to it earlier that there's a lot of negativity out there, and you know, I think the record justifies that somewhat, but there are some very kind, generous, thoughtful members of the nation out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. I'll have to go back and check my mentions, but there was one guy who tweeted at me the other day, and I really appreciated it. He said, "I know that your job has to be really hard right now, but you're finding some legitimate positives, and I appreciate that."
Next time I'm on, I will present a positive tweet of the week.
Oh,
someone in the nation.
Please do.
So hopefully that doesn't up the sarcasm meter on our accounts. Hopefully we get some actual genuine.
That'd be nice.
Earnestness.
Speaking of positives, though, we're not going anywhere for like a long time now. Three of the next four, or actually three in a row, in the Bay Area, come back against the Colts, then bus on down to Santa Clara the week after, and then home once again, take on the mighty Chargers. So I know we're sitting at 1-5. I know things are okay. We're kind of tense right now. I get that. But after the Chargers game, on the road to Arizona. So I'm not in the game of predictions. That's not my deal. But three of the next four teams that we play, 1-5 records, and you're at home a lot. I mean, like I said, I'm not here to make predictions or anything like that. All I'm saying is you look at the schedule. After a pretty brutal 6 weeks to start the year, things are lining up nicely for the Raiders right now.
Let's put it this way. On paper, there are some very winnable games.
Absolutely.
I'd also like to say that on paper, we have too much talent to not be maximizing our potential, or at least coming close to it. Or playing better than what we've been playing at.
Yeah.
You know, I say we like I'm a member of the team, like I'm out there with these guys grinding in the trenches, but you get what I'm saying. You know, we there's too many talented players on our roster that they aren't winnable games, you know? So I agree with you, Wax. I think, and I don't think any of us should predict what's about to unfold, but be cautiously optimistic.
Sure. So, bit of a segue, and kind of related to staying at home for a while. T-Bone, are you happy to be home for a little bit? Are you happy? I know you like to be home.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff I've got to get done. Very happy to be home.
And that's the beauty of the bye, right? Where the bye is great for doing, like, normal people stuff. Like, I got to get my car washed. Super bad.
Clean the garage. I got to.
Well, Trav, you're much more manly than literally all of us here. So, your bye to-do list. Actually, I am curious. So, what are you doing for the bye, Travis?
I mean, nothing is set in stone, but I have to clean part of the garage so that my my cousin can come pour some new concrete in there.
Naturally.
So I'm not doing that part, but I'm doing my part.
Any other home improvements on your agenda?
I got to replace a screen door, a metal screen door.
KMM, while Trav is out being Tim the Toolman Taylor, what are you going to be doing?
I have some, gosh, I don't even want to say it because I'm going to sound like a little.
That's right. I'm going to sound real soft too. So what are you doing?
Man, well, the bye week is the perfect time to get the batteries back to neutral, right?
Sure.
Recharge and just unwind a little bit. So I was hoping to go get a massage and maybe do a nice spa day.
Walks, if you're not getting a massage, what are you going to do this weekend?
I tell you what. I'm seeing the Arctic Monkeys on Saturday.
Oh,
one of my
lovely.
Favorite bands. I've loved them since high school. This is the first time I've actually get to see them in person. Very, very excited. I previously had tickets to see them twice. Once I physically couldn't go to the show, and the other time I had to sell them because I had another engagement. So I'm finally excited that barring some sort of unforeseen incident or accident, I will get to see them Saturday in San Francisco. And then just spend some time outside hanging out with the dog and the girlfriend, just enjoying it.
It's beautiful. I also will be doing soft stuff like Kyle. My my good friend Evan, one of my childhood friends, is turning 30. And for whatever reason, I'm not quite sure, I still haven't really gotten a good answer for this question, but he has decided that to celebrate the beginning of his third decade on Mother Earth, that he wants to go for a 20-mile bike ride through northern wine country. So that is what I will be doing on Saturday.
Well, at least it's in wine country.
Yeah, but there's no, we're not going to a winery.
It's there's no stops. Huh?
No, it's a path. We're starting at whatever ungodly hour he's decided, and we're biking to this pizza place. And it's obviously like a very like fancy, like well-to-do, you know, I'm sure there's many a wood oven or whatever, but all said and done, biking there and back, I guess it's like something people do, 20 miles. So that's how I will be spending my Saturday. And after that, I will be sitting on the couch watching football. And serious question, though. Any of you guys going to watch football on Sunday?
No.
Oh, boy. Saturday, but probably not Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'll watch a little college ball Saturday, watch Mighty Oregon take on the Cougs. But I don't think I'm...
Maybe Sunday night football?
Yeah. Maybe who's in the Sunday night game? I don't know off the top of my head, but...
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, maybe the Sunday night game, but it's supposed to be nice here this weekend. I'll probably... Yeah. No football this weekend.
No
NFL football, I should say. We're out of here this weekend, but we're back next week, back to our regular scheduled programming, back to our player guests, back to our fun breaking it down, looking ahead to the next opponent, which in this case is the mighty Indianapolis Colts. And look, man, it's a game that we really got to handle business in. You're sitting at 1-5, you're running out of opportunities, and you need to start making the most of what you got, especially at home. So until then, until we meet again, and as our pilot on the flight back from London said, I don't know when we'll meet or where we meet, but I look forward to us meeting again. So we'll leave you on that this week. For Eddie Pascal, Matt Walks, Kyle Martin, and producer Trav, we will catch you next week on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.